guilty as charged.
Because we left off yesterday, we're trying to understand what exactly is the point of contention between Rav and Shmuel. Why is it that Rav says that if I have a avanos akidim, so I have my rock, my suitcase, sitting in the street, so if I was mafkir the suitcase, then for sure it's considered to be a bor. If somebody gets hurt on it, I'm chay b'torah's bor. And again, if it's bor, then it has all the peturim of kalim. But as long as I retain ownership over it, so that's not considered to be bor, rather that's considered to be a shor. And again, with all the subsequent halachas that emanate from that, and Shmuel disagrees with that. So what is the point of contention between Rav and Shmuel? Why does Rav look at this suitcase belongs to me through the eyes of a shor, and Shmuel looks at it through the eyes of a bor? So we saw a few different approaches in the Rishonim. We saw Rashi connects this issue back to the Machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. We spent a lot of time in that Machlekes yesterday. Is there a model in the Torah of owning a boar? Maybe the Torah doesn't speak about owning a boar. Maybe the model of boar in the Torah is a boar b'shus rabim. So if that's the case, then we could understand Rav's opinion that if you own it, it just can't, by definition, be a boar. That was Rashi's approach. Tosfos said no. Tosfos said that the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel is not, is it a boar? Of course it's a boar. What's the shaila? The suitcase sitting in the street. You own it, don't own it, of course that's a boar. What Rav's chiddush is that in addition to being chayav for a boar, it's also chayav mishum shor. And even though the chiyav of boar falls short, because boar can be chayav on kelim, but shor can kick in. So I guess the model would be something like, kind of like the secondary insurance it picks up. It means that your primary, your boar, of course it's a boar, but the shot's a boar, but it doesn't always pay. So now you go back to the drawing board and you find you also chayav mishum shor. So that's going to be mechayav you even for kelim or boar. That was Tosfos' approach. And then at the very end of this year, yesterday, we began to try to work on the Ramban's approach. The Ramban, in the Sefer Melchamis, suggested that the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel revolves around the following, that in theory, either one could really be chayev. Logically, one could be a boar, one could be a shor. It's possible. Either one is legitimate. The only thing is, the Ramban argues, you're only entitled to be a told of one av. You can't have multiple avos. So now we have to sit around and try to figure out which one of the two avos, it's not a right or wrong, but which is more correct, which is more applicable, which makes more sense to put this suitcase under which heading. Now it's going to be important. It's not just semantics, which one we call it. It's going to be a nafka mina ladina, whether you're chayef or kelim or not. So says the Ramban, let's begin to analyze. Let's try to think, why would we think that a suitcase is closer to a boar? Why would we think that a suitcase is closer to a shore? So Shmuel's sheet is the easiest to understand. Shmuel says a suitcase and a shore, they're with each other. So the shore is alive, running around. A suitcase is sitting in one place. So says Shmuel, that characteristic of Ruach Chaim, that's the end of the discussion. That similarity and that difference between the suitcase and the shore is so obvious that if you have to choose between calling a suitcase a shore, calling it a boy, you have to call it a boy. No question about it. But Rav said no. Rav said it's true. He concedes that a suitcase is not exactly like a shore. He also accepts that distinction. But Rav says, but there's something else going on here. It says Rav that boar has a certain characteristic to it that a suitcase just doesn't have. And what is that characteristic? So that's what the Ramban added on and said, this is Rav L'shita. So you cannot understand Rav's view in a vacuum. Rather, this is part of Rav's whole theory about boar. If you remember, Rav had that very unique understanding of boar. Boar is chayev for the hevel, for the lack of air, for the bad air. That's the mechayev. So argues the Ramban, is that the bad air, that's something she'ain bo mamish. That's not something tangible. The suitcase is tangible. So that in and of itself is enough to highlight the difference between the two. And since the model of boar, which is the intangible air, and the model of the suitcase, which is a davar mamashi, something which is tangible, is so profoundly different from one another. Therefore, we're going to, in a sense, be meichel on the difference of Ruach Chaim. We're going to say, you know what, at the end of the day, this suitcase is closer to a shore than it is to a boy. Now, even Rav concedes, it's not identical to it. It's different. Ruach Chaim is different. But still, according to Ramban, the idea of the sug is to try to find that which has the most similarities to, and to highlight that which has the most differences to. So it's not, neither of the models is perfect, says the Ramban, but in the greatest scheme of things, it still has closer characteristics to a shore than it does to a boar. That's how the Ramban sizes up the sugya. But there is a glaring issue that the Ramban has to address. Namely, if Rav is very, very focused on the fact that boar is hevel, and Hevel doesn't really exist in a case of a suitcase. The problem is that even Rav agrees that sometimes a suitcase is a bore. When did Rav say that a suitcase is a shore? He only said that when you own it. But if you're mafkir it, so then kuliyam lo pligi, the Gemara says. And even Rav agrees that's considered to be a bore. So the Ramban may be guilty, almost of overkill. The Ramban is explaining, according to Rav, why a bore and a suitcase are so profoundly different from one another. They're so different. This is Hevel, this is Hevel. They're so radically different from one another. So we say, okay, if they're so radically different from one another, so how come Rav himself agrees that the suitcase is a bore sometimes in your mafkir it? So here the Ramban would respond as follows, that I never meant to say, argues the Ramban, that a suitcase cannot possibly be a shore, and I never meant to say that a suitcase cannot possibly be a bar. I agree that in theory either one would work, but we're looking for the best one. We're looking for the most compatible one. So if you own the suitcase, so that could be a shore. It's possible to call it a shore. Not exactly a shore. It's alive. This is not alive. So then you have to pinpoint which characteristic is important. So Rav opted for the characteristic of a shore because, after all, a bore is still different because of the Hevel factor. But when you talk about a suitcase that you were mafker already, then there's no other choice. There's no other option. Because once you are mafker the suitcase, it can't be a shore. Shore, by definition, is mamono shehizik. If there's a shore, shall hefker running around. That's not my problem. So I can only be chayav bishum shore if it belongs to me. So comes the Ramban, Vidas Rav, and explains that when you still retain ownership over this suitcase, so then we're up for negotiation. Then we can discuss which one does it fall under. Is it closer to the bore model, closer to the shore model? So I'll say as far this way, you'll say as far for Kerith. But once I was mafkir it, so then the game's over. The shore is not even on the table, not even on the radar screen anymore. The only option is bore, Zolzayin bore. But bore is so different. Okay, it's different. No, the world won't come to that. It's different, but it's also a mazik. It's also a mazik. So the break with Ramban is that the whole sugya is not revolving around it has to be A, and it absolutely, under no circumstances, can be B. We're open for negotiate. We will accept A, we'll accept B. The most compatible, we will accept. You have to figure out, case by case, what is the most compatible. So we have three very, very different approaches, just the lumdus behind the machlekes Rav and Shmuel, between Rashi, Tosfos, and the Ramban. According to Rashi, the issue is that Rav believes that if you own this item, it can't be a bor. It's not up for discussion. It's impossible because the model of the Torah bor is only bor b'shus harabim, only bor shel hefker. End of discussion. According to Tosfos, you can be chai for multiple things, and the machlekes Rav and Shmuel is, will we hit you for both? According to the Ramban, you can only be chai for one, but we can negotiate either one. Either one is a viable option, and we're looking for the best option. So according to Rashi, it's A and B is not even on the radar screen. According to Tosfos, it's A and B. According to Ramban, it's A or B. We're just looking for the best one under these circumstances. But notwithstanding what appears in the Rishonim, and you can already see all the struggle of the Rishonim to try to figure out what exactly is the point of contention, there is a fourth possibility that exists that doesn't appear, to the best of my knowledge, doesn't appear in Rishonim, but it is somewhat popular in some of the later Acharonim, who have this kind of an idea that maybe there's a whole nother lens that we should look through. We should look through the sugya, and that idea is taken by, it appears in the Chazon Ish, in the beginning of the Chiddush Mevakama, it appears in the Chiddush Granat. The Granat was Rabbi Naftali Trupp. Naftali Trupp was the Rashiv in Radin right before the war. He was a young man. He was in his 30s, and he was asked by the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim got older, and he needed someone to be more of a leading Rosh Hashiva for him. So he asked Rabbi Naftali, as you can imagine. Rabbi Naftali, out of all the Gedolei Olam in Europe, he was asked to say the Shirim to be the Rashiva in Radin. So Rav Naftali in his Sefer and Rav Kama, the Chazon Ish, in his Sefer Rav Kama, have a similar type of an idea as follows, that we have to put into perspective when Rav says that a suitcase is chayev mishum shor. I mean, now, again, at first glance, a very, very striking statement where Rav says that a suitcase, as long as you retain ownership over it, as long as it's still mamoncha, so it's chayev mishum shor. So that statement in and of itself is very, very problematic because we all know, but the first mission of Kama, the characteristic par excellence of a shore is that it's alive. Yesh b'ruach chayim. So l'chora, that should carry the day. That should be machri every. That should be more important than any and every svaras that you have. Is that how in the world can you really seriously say that a suitcase is considered to be a shore? To make matters even worse, Reb Naftali has a raya from a sugya a little bit later on, where the Gemara discusses How do you know that if the Torah speaks about a shore, how do you know other animals? How do you know maybe a shore is a shore? Maybe, how do you know, let's say I have a pet lion and it damages something. How do you know that I'm chai for that also? How do you know if I have a bird? The Mishnah says later on in the second paragraph, if I have a bird and the bird goes and jumps around and damages something, I'm chai. How do you know? Maybe we should take the words of the Chumash literally, that it only refers to shvarim, only applies to behemoths. How do you know it applies to wild animals? How do you know it applies to birds? How do you know any of this? So it's not clear what the answer to that question is. It's clear that what the din is, there's no question what the din is, that I'm chayiv for my wild animals, for my tame animals, for my birds, for any and everything is chayiv. So that's not a question. It's not clear in the Rishonim exactly what the source of that is. So there's a Tosfos later on, in the beginning of the second parak, where Tosfos suggests that the source is the source for many, many other halachas, and that's the mocher of Shabbos. The Torah speaks about, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do malacha, and your animals are not allowed to do malacha either. And the Torah says, lo sasaka malacha atavir, it says, in one of the places, it says, v'chol behemtecha, all of your animals. So the Gemara says, in the end of the fifth parak of Bava Kama, v'chol behemtecha, that means every your domesticated animals, and your wild animals, and your birds, anything part of the animal kingdom, not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. So the Gemara, at the end of the fifth parak of Bava Kama, is a whole series of different drushas that just as in Hilchos Shabbos, so all animals are included, so too in Hilchos Kelayim, all animals are included, and other areas of halacha, the Gemara is running to Russia, that Shabbos serves as the ma'ala for everything. So Tosfos throws up the hand, says, maybe, they're guessing, maybe the model for all of my animals that damages are those psukim from Shabbos. Maybe that's the ultimate makom. Again, the Gemara never spells out, never connects the dots. How do you know that my bird that damages I'm chayav for? How do you know my wild wild giraffe, I don't know, my mechayav, whatever, my lion damages, how do you know that I'm chayav? The Gemara never spells that menahani mili. It's clear for the Gemara that is the din. So Tosfos is guessing, maybe the missing link is that Gemara in the end of the fifth parak of Kama, possibly. So he asks from Naftali Trup, if that's the case, that you need almost a pasuk to tell me that different multiple animals are chayav. There's no pasuk that's marba a suitcase. It doesn't say losasuk mlocha atav a suitcase shulcha. If my suitcase does mlocha, that's not my problem. That's called shvisas kalim. If I have a kli that's doing mlocha, that's not my problem on Shabbos. So comes Rav Naftali and says, how could Rav say with a straight face, Yechai Mishum Pshor? What kind of shore is a joke? It's not a shore. A shore is a live animal. You want to tell me that a shore doesn't just mean an ox, it means a sheep, it means a goat, and it means a lion, it means a tiger, it means an elephant. Yeah, that'll accept. But you want to tell me that a shore means a suitcase? He said, how are you talking about? Because it can't be. So what does Rav mean when Rav said those magic words that it's a shore? What in the world does he mean? So come to Chazon Ish, come to Naftali and suggest that what Rav meant is as follows. Of course it's a boar. There's no shaila that it's a boar. Hello, what? It's a brisket Torah. There are two dinim of boar. There's a boar that's potter on kalim, and there's a boar that's chayev on kalim. Now, normally when we speak about the model of boar, we think, you see the words boar, potter of kalim, because we're so used to thinking, v'nafal shama shor chamor, shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kalim. If a kli falls into the boar and breaks, it's an absolute tour. So say these acharonim, yes, it's true. If it falls into a boar, you're potter, but not every boar has that p'tur. Some boars, yes, and some boars don't have that p'tur. When Rab said, yechai mishum shor, what didn't mean that yechai literally mishum shor. Shor was the model. Shor was the example. Shor was the prototype of a mazik that there's a chiv of kalim on it. Let's not forget, what was the context of Rab's original statement, yechai mishum shor? To say yechai on kalim. That's all that he meant to say. All Rab said on Daf Kaf Ches is that if you left the suitcase on the ground and you weren't mafker, yechayev on kalim. And the Gemara says, why? Yechayev mishum shor. So say these achronim, Rav never meant to say it's an independent chiyum mishum shor. It's not alive. It's not part of a chol behemtecha. It can't be chayev mishum shor. All Rav meant was, this kind of a boar that you own is not subject to the pturim of kalim. And in this area, in that one regard of a chiyum of kalim, it's similar to a shor. It's not chayiv mishum shor. It's similar to shor, just the shor is chayiv and kalim. So too, this kind of a boar bee is chayiv and kalim. A boar that you own doesn't, you don't have that cool, you don't have that leniency of not paying for kelim. So if you go down this route of the Acharonim, so Rav never said Mishum Shor. He never said in the first place. So again, you choose, you have four different Biurim. You have the three Pshat and the Rishonim. Each one, the Rishonim clearly understood Rav Kipshuto, and you have the Acharonim who are suggesting that maybe we can reevaluate, take a new look, a fresh look at Rav, and maybe he never said everything that sounds like he said in the first place.
It works in a little bit with Rav's view that it's Hevel, because Hevel is not dangerous to Kalim. Hevel is only dangerous to live things, not to Kalim. So it makes sense that
it's almost like a secondary kind of abort.
There's no,
Maybe that's part of it. Maybe perhaps it's part of it. So whatever Rav said, he definitely said Yechayev on Kalim in this case. That's the bottom line. Whatever the lumdus, the four pshatim is, he said the Yechayev. How should we paskin halacha on the shayl? You have machlekes Rav and Shmuel. I went to halacha lemaisa. I left a suitcase on the floor. I wasn't mafker it. Some kelim were broken because of that suitcase. I'm a chayv to pay, not a chayv to pay. According to Rav, I'm a chayv, according to Shmuel and Potter. How should we paskin? So if we learned this sugya in a vacuum, so then machlekes Rav and Shmuel. So we go to the regular klalim of psak halacha. How do we paskin Rav and Shmuel? The Gemara in Erevin tells us halacha ki Rav be isurei, but halacha Shmuel be mamonei. In the realm of Yisurim, you have Machlekes Ruch Shabbos, Ruch Kasheris, you follow Rav. And Machlekes in the moment is a monetary question, then you follow Shmuel. So it sounds like it's a no-brainer, but it was a Shmuel Bedini and finished. But wait a second, according to some of the Rishonim, this Machlekes cannot be understood in a vacuum. According to some of the Rishonim, this Machlekes is linked to other Machlekes. This Machlekes is part of a greater picture, a greater view of what Bor is all about. So if that's the case, then there's a certain Lishitaso going on here, then you have to go back to the original Machlokes and see how do you paskin that Machlokes. So let's take a look and see through the eyes of Rashi. So through the eyes of Rashi, the Machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel, is a reformulation of the Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. It means the same way that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel had a Machlokes 100 years before Rabbi Shmuel were born, about whether the model of Bor is Rishus HaRabim, or the model of Bor is also Rishus HaYochid. Can you have a Bor B'shuso in a sense? So Rav and Shmuel are fighting that out about the suitcase. So if that's the case, so then we can't ask in a vacuum, how do you paskin Rav and Shmuel? You have to ask, how do you paskin in the Machlokes Rav Akiva and Rav Shmuel? But it's all the same, L'shitaso. So the answer to that question is also pretty simple, because when we have a Machlokes Rav Akiva and Rav Shmuel, one of the Kol Yopsach is, Halachic Rabbi Akiva mechaveiro, falo mechaveirov. Whenever Rabbi Akiva takes on one of his colleagues, then you always follow him, unless there's some exception to that rule. But unless the Gemara tells us otherwise, Halachic Rabbi Akiva mechaveiro, falo mechaveirov. If Rabbi Akiva argues with everybody, all the Tanaim, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Leah, Rabbi Shua, all Rabbi Akiva's esteemed colleagues all say one thing, and Rabbi Akiva is the dissenting view, then unless there's some special psach that's given in the Gemara, Halacha Rabbi Akiva mechaveirov, lo mechaveirov. So here it's Rabbi Akiva against his colleague Rabbi Shmuel. So Machlekes Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel. It's also a no-brainer. The final psach is going to be like Rabbi Akiva, that there is a concept of a bor b'shuso. And that's the case. And Shmuel is once again in good, very, very good standing. Because according to Rashi, and that the two Machlekes and Matali Zebizeh, so this is great. The Piskei Halacha work out. Because according to Rashi's understanding, we're going to follow Shmuel, because Zuchus HaKashmuel B'dinei, which happens to be Rabbi Akiva, which is also nice, because Halacha Rabbi Akiva, Mechaveiro. So according to Rashi, things are pretty smooth. However, according to the Ramban's Pshat, that the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel in this sugya is very much linked to the question about Hevel versus Chavata. You can't learn the sugya of Rav and Shmuel in a vacuum. You have to go back and say, well, what are the general views about Bor? Because it was only because Rav had his very unique way of understanding, of focusing, of emphasizing the Hevel of the Bor, that led him to this conclusion that, therefore, this can't be a Bor, therefore it has to be a Shor. So now you have to go back and ask yourself, well, how do we pass it in that machlokes? So we know a little bit about that. We already learned this. We learned that there was a machlokes that we shown him, whether we pass it like Rav, we pass it like Shmuel. So if you take a look at the very last of the Mamakomos, or the ninth of the Mamakomos, so the Rif quotes the machlokes Rav and Shmuel, and then the three lines from the bottom, so towards the end of the line, the Rif says, the Hilchos HaKarav, that we follow Rav in this one. That's startling, because normally we should follow Shmuel Medinei, but says the Rif, this is one of the exceptions. The Tani Rav Chananya L'siyue, because within that sugya, so there's a brisa that's quoted to support the view of Rav. So even though we have Klali Apsak are only good when there's nothing else going on. If there's some other factor involved, that can sometimes sway us in the other direction. So the Rif claims that there is another factor, and the other factor is the brisa that supports Rav. But nevertheless, the Rif tells us, not everyone agrees to that conclusion. The Ikaman the Yama, there are those who say, there are those who say, forget the Braisa, just follow the rules of the Amoraim, and we follow like Shmuel Medine. So the Rif quotes in a sense both opinions about this. Within the first view, which is the primary sheet of the Rif, before the Ikaman the Yama, the primary view of the Rif is that the Halacha is like Rav in the case of Hevel. So according to the Ramban, if that's true, that the halacha is like Rav vis-a-vis Hevel, then the halacha may very well be like Rav vis-a-vis calling the suitcase ashore also. Because according to the Ramban, the two issues are totally zebizeh. But the good news is that the Rif happened not to hold the issues with totally zebizeh. The Rif himself, who was the Rishon of passing like Rav, happens to pass it explicitly like Shmuel. So if you take a look at the eighth of the Marmar Kamos, and he says, it's all born, finish out the discussion. So according to the Rif, maybe one could have followed Rav and Arsugya, but Lamaist the Ramban himself doesn't go down that route. So when all the dust settles, nobody goes down the route of Rav. At the end of the day, everybody agrees, Lahaloch Lamaist, and we follow the regular rules, and therefore the din is that it's considered to be a bor, bein the afkarinu, bein the lo afkarinu, it's always considered to be a bor, and as such, there is never ever going to be a chiyuv of kelim the bor, doesn't matter whether you do on the Torah, the suitcase in the street will never ever be a bor. Well, I'm sorry, will never ever be a shore. after 3 days, still early in the morning. Okay, just testing, everyone's still away. There is one last nakuda that surfaced in the middle of the sugya that we didn't address yet, because it's almost a little bit of a tangential part of the sugya, but it did come up. The Rishonim did discuss it in this context, and that's, if you go back just a little bit, when we were speaking about the Machlekes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ishmael, about the different kinds of boros. There was the bor b'shuso, there was the bor b'shuso rabim, but there was one kind of bor that wasn't addressed explicitly in the Gemara. The Rishonim actually addressed it. We take a look at Rashi, back in the second of the Marmar Kamos. When Rashi was discussing, when the Gemara was discussing the model, two different models of bor. There's the bor dug in the middle of the street, and then the second case was the person dug a bor in his property, and then he was subsequently mafkir his property, but he retained ownership over the bor. So Rashi introduces the third case of bor, in the second of the Marmar Kamos. So it's the first of the Rashis on that Marmar Kam. Kibor de Sovarav Bor Shechiva Lav Torah Behifkir Rishuso Uborahu de Chivaso. The model of Bor, the Bor that doesn't belong to you. What's the case of the Bor that doesn't belong to you? You dug it in your property, and then you amafki your property, and you amafki your Bor. That's the one case that doesn't appear in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about a person digging a pit mavish in the street. That's a bor, vishus rabim. Then the Gemara talks about digging a pit in your property, mafk your property, but maintaining ownership of the bor. That's a bor, vishuso. And the middle case is, I dug it in my property, and then I was mafk your both. So Rashi says, oh, come on, that's like a bor, vishus rabim. At the end of the day, you don't own it. So that's the same thing. So Rashi says, I don't know, the Gemara doesn't have to give me that case. That's the exact same case. What's the difference whether I dug it in the street means I don't own it at all, or I dug it in my property and I was mafki the bor, so I don't own it either? It's all the same thing. That was Rashi Shita. So Tosfos took it in an issue with that Rashi. And Tosfos claimed, I don't remember whether I put it... Yeah, you put it on the Marmar Kamos. It's on the fifth of Marmar Kamos, going up to the top of the page, back to the top page. It's three lines from the top. The middle of the line. Umashi b'kuntres rotsa l'chayev v'hifki reshusa uboro k'mo b'chof ubor b'shus ram. Rashi, that's a no-brainer. If I'm chayev for digging a pit in the middle of the street, so I'm chayev for digging in my property, as long as I'm mafkir everything. So Tos says, guess what? Einir l'ri. The Ri says, no. You would be putter for such a bor. This is the best case for you. Why? T'chof ubor b'shus rabim Chafa bar be'isser.
Right.
If I dig a pit in the middle of the street, at the time, I was ki yichra, I did an aveira. I opened up the street. I'm not allowed to do that. So I'm chai for that. V'chein chafa bar b'shuso samuch l'shisarabim be'isser chafra. Or if I dig a pit right at the edge of l'shisarabim, that's also in isser. V'afilu chafa b'yamtze b'shuso. And even if I dug it in the middle of my property, so I didn't do anything wrong. It's my backyard. I can do whatever I want. Even though I didn't do anything wrong, but v'hivki b'shusav lo boro, but if I still maintain ownership over the boar, it's my problem. I am responsible for my tekolas. But let's skip down a little bit because this makes reference to another Gemara we're not going to talk about now. Let's skip down to the second line, the second line for the bottom, the middle line. Aval hifki reshusu boro. In the case where you are mafki, your reshus, and your boar, you have everything going for you. I didn't do anything wrong. I dug a hole in my street in the middle of my property. And guess what? I'm not the balabor. So lo mechayev. So he says, what are you going to hit me for? Tell me why I'm chayev. Says the Ri, you can be chayev for one of two reasons. You can be chayev for digging a bor. You can be chayev for owning a bor. In Rashi's scenario, you didn't dig the bor. I mean, you dug it, but you dig it, dug it after, and you don't own it. So you slip between the cracks. So it's a strange thing, says Tosfos. Here, this guy created a situation, people are falling right and left. Animals are breaking their legs, falling in right and left. And we know he's the guy responsible. We know he's the one who dug it. We know he's the one who set up this takala. Says Tosfos, but we can't nab him for it because he slips between the cracks. He's nish the choy for the boar, nor is he the baal boar. So says Tosfos, if you're not the chofer and you're not the baal, so that translates to minya potter. And Rashi says, wait a second. Rashi says, you're not the chof, you're not the baal. But Taklis, you're the one who made the boar. The bottom line is, you are the one who's directly responsible for all this damage that's taking place. So we can hit you anyway, even though you're not the chof and you're not the baal of boar. So anyway, just an interesting machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, which again is not critical in terms of the flow of our sugya, but it did come up in the middle of the context of the sugya as to how exactly you define a boar b'shus around him. So when all the dust settles, so there is a model of boar in the Torah. Everybody agrees that sometimes a takola in Rishus Ram will be a boar. If you're a mafkut, l'kula yamar, bein l'rabbi, and l'shmol is considered to be a boar. If you maintain ownership over it, that's where Rav and Shmuel part ways. What the nekudas ha-machlokes Rav and Shmuel was, either you look at it through the eyes of Rashi, or look at it through the eyes of Tosfos, through the eyes of the Ramban, or the eyes of the later Acharonim, four different possibilities as to what exactly the point of contention between Rav and Shmuel is all about. And whether or not this machlokes is related to other sugyas was part of that machlokes that we've shown him. And the relationship, or lack thereof, could potentially impact the Anyan Apostle in this sugya as well. Right? So we can see him on the suitcase in the middle of the street, but the next sugya is the suitcase that's falling in the wind. So it's the same stone, the same knife, the same suitcase, but it's damaging on the way down rather than while it's on the floor. So hopefully, mentioned the next sugya that's going to start the issue of Eish. It's going to be a whole nother world. So same suitcase, different potential of Mazik. Okay, so.